This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we talk with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime Inland Empire journalist and KVCR contributor, Cassie McDuff. We review a few of the big news stories from around the Inland Empire over the past week. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken.
I saw this in the paper, and I'm glad that you're going to explain this to our listeners. The man accused of supplying the weapons to the December 2nd, 2015 San Bernardino mass shooting may get up to 25 years in prison.
Right. This is what federal prosecutors are recommending for Enrique Marquez Jr. He's the Riverside young man who lived next door to the shooter, Syed Rizwan Farouk. And he acted as a straw buyer for the two assault rifles used in the September 2nd, 2015 attack in San Bernardino at the Inland Regional Center, which killed 14 people and wounded 22. He also bought explosives where the shooter and his wife left a homemade bomb in the IRC that failed to detonate. Apparently, they were trying to detonate it with a remote that didn't work, fortunately for the first responders who came after this tragedy. This was, to remind folks, the worst terrorist attack at the time since 9/11. Farouk recruited Marquez to Islam and then radicalized him. And in 2011 and 2012, around the time that Marquez bought these weapons, they were plotting a terrorist attack on the 91 freeway and at Riverside Community College. Fortunately, they decided not to do that after there was an arrest of four accused terrorist suspects from the Inland Empire. They kind of backed off on that. However, Marquez knew that Farouk still had these assault rifles and didn't notify authorities. So he pleaded guilty to these charges about a year ago. And the sentencing is set at this point for April 30th. However, the defense, his lawyers, are asking for a delay because they say that the prosecution has brought in a new expert witness and they've hired their own witness who has something like 3,500 pages of evidence to go over, as well as Marquez's Facebook data, which is about 13,000 pages of data.
So presumably all of that would have to be settled before the sentencing hearing?
Well, we'll see what the judge says. You know, since it's been so long since the actual attack and even the guilty plea, the judge may decide this just needs to go ahead.
Okay. Next, UPS has started flying regularly out of San Bernardino International Airport.
Well, San Bernardino International hasn't really had a lot of regularly scheduled flights. Over the holidays, I think we talked about this, Ken, they did start up some special service to handle all the packages at the holiday time. Yeah. However, about 5 weeks ago now, maybe 6 weeks, they started regular cargo flights, five flights per week out of San Bernardino International, which, as you know, is the former Norton Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. UPS is flying as many as 15,000 next-day packages per day or in each plane out of that flight. This is a big feather in the cap of San Bernardino International. It's had some trouble gaining traction as a commercial airport since the Air Force closed it. The UPS agreement with San Bernardino International goes through 2020, and the company has added about 100 employees at that site. So this is a really good news for San Bernardino and for the airport.
And probably for UPS, too, because, as you said, it hasn't been a lot of activity at that airport, and their big operation there practically by themselves.
You know, and more warehouses, distribution centers are opening around there. Of course, Hillwood initially developed the area around the airport as a hub for logistics, and Amazon just a few years ago added a big distribution center. So certainly there's a lot of activity close by.
Yeah, and if it works out with UPS, then there may be more activity at San Bernardino Airport in the future. And finally, let's talk politics. There are quite a few incumbents in for challenges, some of them tough challenges, in the June primary election, including challenges from some people in their own party, these incumbents.
Well, that's right. Interestingly, Paul Cook, the congressman from the High Desert in San Bernardino County, is being challenged by a fellow Republican, Tim Donnelly. People may remember him from the state assembly. He was a Tea Party Republican. And Ken, I also want to mention that there are three Democrats also running against Cook. In addition, Pete Aguilar, the Democratic congressman from Redlands, has a Democrat challenging him. Norma Torres, the congresswoman from Pomona, we already talked about, Democrat Joe Baca challenging her. And Raul Ruiz, the congressman from the Low Desert, the Coachella Valley, he's actually does not have a Democratic challenger, but four Republicans have entered that race. Now, in the state assembly, Assemblyman Chad Mays from Yucca Valley, a Republican, has two fellow Republicans challenging him. Listeners will recall that Mays came under fire from his own party and, in fact, had to step down from the leadership position because he voted with Democrats to extend the cap and trade program to reduce greenhouse gases.
Mm-hmm. And Chad Mays is also trying to, with other people, trying to form a more moderate wing of the Republican Party, an organization that's trying to push the party to the moderate.
And it'll be interesting to see if that gets traction as the midterm elections in Congress approach. And Mays, by the way, also has a Democrat challenging him and a Green Party candidate as well.
And there's a lot of political activity surrounding the Riverside County Board of Supervisors.
Well, right. Two longtime incumbents, John Tavoloni and Marion Ashley, are both retiring, and so there's a lot of competition to fill those seats in Tavoloni's district, which includes this most of the city of Riverside, Harupa Valley, Eastvale, Corona, and Norco. There are several elected officials, Corona Councilwoman Karen Spiegel, Riverside Councilman Mike Gardner, former Assemblyman Eric Lindner, and a couple of other people, including environmental activist Penny Newman, are running for that seat. And in Ashley's district, his chief of staff is running. That's Jaime Hurtado. In addition, a former Assemblyman Russ Bowe, Cala Mesa Mayor Jeff Hewitt, and a couple of other people have stepped into that race. So it'll be interesting to see if anybody wins in the primary. Anybody who gets 50% of the vote plus one or more, of course, can take that, and there wouldn't have to be a runoff.
And you add that to the fact that Supervisor Manuel Perez is up for election this year, and you've got a majority of the Riverside County Board of Supervisors seats up.
There could be big changes there.
Yes, yes. Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Cassie McDuff is a longtime Inland Empire journalist and a regular Friday morning contributor to 91.9 KVCR. You can hear Cassie's segments at our website, kvcrnews.org. This segment is made possible by the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers.